Hello, and welcome to Spindrift. My name is Ken Matthews. What Spindrift is about to tell you is a true story. Now, whether you choose to believe it or not is up to you. In the past, I have told you that I was sent to a military boarding school in Dover, Kent, when I was 9 years old. It was a strict school, but in retrospect, I look back at the experience with a certain amount of affection. I have often regaled you with how poor my family was in those days, and most of the boys, it was an all-boys school at the time, received food parcels, which also contained money and sweets, from home, to augment the rations at the school. Spindrift did not receive such parcels. In truth, a letter was a yearly event. Sob, sob. As students in a military school, we were expected to be as good as, or better than, the regular army. We appeared at many parades in the area, and our marching and drill routines had to be seen to be believed. As such, we had to keep our uniforms and boots spotless and gleaming. It was not good enough for us to be on a par with the regular army. Our officers expected us to be better at all things, and that included shooting. It may beg a belief, but as soon as I was physically able to lift a rifle to my shoulder, I was taught how to shoot a 303, the standard issue to the army at the time. The rifle had such a kick that our shoulders were constantly purple from the bruising. I received pocket money from the school of 6 shillings a month. That's 6 shillings, or 72 pence in old money, the equivalent of 30 pence today. With that princely sum, I was expected to buy blanco for the white parts of my uniform, black polish for my boots, brasso or silvo polish to shine my buttons and badges, toothpaste and soap, stamps and stationery to send letters home, thread and needles for sewing, darning materials to darn my socks, and, even with a list as long as that, I've probably forgotten other things that had to be purchased. Oh, and out of the 6 shillings, or 72 pennies, we were also expected to save. As you can probably imagine, sweets were something of a rarity to me, although I did sometimes get some from friends when they received their tuck boxes from home. Despite all that, I did manage to keep 1 or 2 pennies, and I do mean 1 or 2, in order to spend it in Dover when I received my monthly pass. Once a month on a Saturday, we received a 1-day pass, and we could do what we liked, within reason, on that day. A lot of the boys' parents used to arrive and whisk them away for the day, or boys like me, who did not receive visitors, were allowed to trudge down the hill into the town centre to do as we wished, although we were still subject to military discipline, and woe betide anyone who did not uphold the honour and dignity of the school. The teachers, who were all army officers, did not have a lot of time for me, as I was less than academically gifted, and was, in all honesty, a wee fat four-eyed boy with no athletic prowess to compensate for my total lack of intellectual ability. I tried so hard to learn. I tried so hard at all the sports, rugby, cricket, athletics, and all the countless activities that abounded in the school. I was a complete and utter failure at everything. I looked up to every other boy in the school with complete awe, wishing I could be like them. They were like gods to me. Strangely enough, I did not envy the other boys. I was probably too thick to understand the concept of envy. In lessons, I was at the front of the class, and the dunce's corner was a home from home. Despite all that, I did pay attention to everything that the teachers tried, in vain, to teach me. Mathematical symbols were just that to me. Symbols, things that meant something that I was totally unable to comprehend. They were just squiggles. If a teacher asked me a question, I had to get them to repeat it, as I had no idea what I was being asked. When they did repeat it, I still had no idea and was sometimes consigned to the dunce's corner. Fortunately, unlike the cartoons, there was no dunce's hat. Or I had to try and avoid the piece of chalk that was winging its way towards me. Alas, I was always too slow to evade it. The English language, the written form that is, was just hieroglyphics. I honestly couldn't comprehend the link between the word and the sound. In the end, the teachers came to the conclusion that I was unteachable, if there is such a word, and just gave up on me. I can almost hear you stirring and thinking, surely not. Spindrift is having us on. That cannot be a description of the formative years of the person pounding away at the keyboard. As I said at the start of this article, this is a true story. Whether you choose to believe it or not is up to you. And I meant it. So, where is Spindrift going with all this? There is always a reason behind his story. Well, back to the weekend passes from the school and all will be revealed. If I did have a couple of pennies left over, I used to buy pretty foreign postage stamps from Woolworth and would spend many happy hours with the others of the philately club at the school, swapping stamps and looking at the pretty ones the others had. Looking back, I was probably taken advantage of by the others because of my complete lack of comprehension of the values. However, I was happy. I was accepted and I was treated as an equal. Then, when I was about 14 years old, I found a new delight in the town. I have to confess here that my friends did not share my enthusiasm for the machine that I discovered in a penny arcade. And all it cost me was a half penny a go, a halfpenny. My 2 pennies allowed me to go on the machine 4 times. Absolute heaven. Ah, a gambling machine, I hear you cry. Spindrift had discovered gambling. No. In fact, what I had discovered was an old Victorian electricity machine in the arcade. What happened was, you put your halfpenny into the machine and gripped a brass handle on the left side of the machine. With your right hand, you gripped a brass knob that you turned, and that allowed electricity to travel through your body from your right hand to your left one. A sort of regulated form of electrocution. My muscles danced and contorted as I rippled out of control from the electricity passing through them. You probably did similar experiments at school with dead frogs, connecting them to a battery and seeing their muscles twitching as though they were alive. My friends did not like the machine, as they found it uncomfortable to use, and they could only take a small amount of electricity before they leapt back from the machine. My friends were amazed at how much electrical current I could endure, and every month I used to compete with myself to see how much more of the electrical torture I could tolerate, as my friends watched in amazement, some even taking bets, in sweets of course, as to how high I could turn the switch. Of course, it was not torture to me. Here, I was the best. None of the others could compete with me. On this machine, Spindrift ruled. I was king. One day, some months after I discovered the machine, I was sitting in the class trying to understand what the teacher was saying and trying to understand the hieroglyphics he was scribbling, as usual, not comprehending anything. I remember this with complete clarity, as this was a turning point in my life, the defining moment, as poets and other literary figures might say. The teacher turned to me and asked me a question, whilst pointing to the blackboard. As usual, I had to ask him to repeat the question, and he did so with resigned exasperation. Then, out of the blue, I received a jolt in my head like a bolt of lightning. Of course, there was no lightning, and I was in the classroom. The whole thing happened in my head. As the teacher repeated the question, he was jabbing the blackboard with a finger to accentuate his point. I understood everything he said. I could read the blackboard perfectly, and I understood the question, and furthermore, I knew the answer, so I gave it. Everything seemed to stand still for me at that point. The teacher's jaw dropping in amazement. The gasp that arose from my classmates. The teacher looking at me, asking me the question again, and with me repeating the answer. The strange thing was, not only did I understand the question and know the answer, I remembered everything I had ever been taught. It was as though all the learning had been stored in a part of my brain that I had been completely unable to access until then. In that one moment, my life changed completely and utterly. From being the bottom of the class at everything, I became top. That year in the exams, I had the second top mark in English in the entire school. A true story. Honestly. The only explanation that I can offer is that the electrical machine that I was so fond of in Dover eventually jumped a gap in the wiring in my head, completing a circuit that wasn't working. It's the only explanation I can offer, so I am eternally grateful to the inventor of that machine, and the only place you're likely to see one now is in a museum, as it would be deemed too dangerous now. It goes without saying that nobody should try to use electricity in this way. Do not try this at home.